Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. I am Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, January 29th, 2014. As ever, I think we've got a terrific, terrific show for you. I mean, just a lot to talk about, a lot to cover. As we've been doing since the beginning of the year, I want to start, you know, I want to build on this whole conversation we've been having about how you can come up with a strategy in this rapidly changing world and how your customers are changing, right? What's driving those strategic decisions you're going to make for your online marketing and your digital marketing and things along those lines. And I want to start, I wrote a post the other day. I want to start by talking about a quote from Marissa Meyer. Now, for those of you who don't know Marissa or aren't aware of Marissa, Marissa is the CEO of Yahoo and was, what, employee number 4 at Google, employee number 9 at Google, something like that. She was at Google for a long time, was head of their products for a long time for search and things like that before she got hired by Yahoo to come in and figure out how they can improve what Yahoo is doing. And so far, she's done a pretty good job. I mean, all in all, the stock market seems to like what she's doing. And I'll tell you, as a consumer, as somebody who's used Yahoo products over the years, I think they're making good progress. You know, some of Yahoo's issues are more systemic, and it might be too little too late, no matter what she does. But regardless of that, I think she's making good decisions. And in this post that I talked about, where I asked, you know, should you still listen to Marissa Meyer, I highlighted a quote that she'd given recently, that Marissa had given recently, where she said, when you look at mobile, when you look at the bandwidth, when you look at the Internet of Things, it's going to change everyone's daily routines really fundamentally. And what she's really saying is, you know, we've seen a lot of changes over the years, given the changes that the web has created, given the changes that the internet has created. At the same time, hang on to your hats, because there's a lot more coming. Now, I generally think Marissa is spot on. I think she's really right. I mean, there's a reason why I talk about this every week. There's a reason why, you know, I blog about this. There's a reason why I podcast about this. And the reason is, you know, yeah, we've seen a ton of changes, but there is so much room to grow. I mean, just tons and tons and tons of room. And the changes that we're going to see in the coming years are going to drive business forward and through new channels in ways that we have been experiencing for the last 10, 12, 15 years, but that I think is going to fundamentally shape where business goes over the next 5, 10, 15 years. And so I asked another question earlier this week in another post. Actually, I take that back. It was actually late last week. I asked, why isn't mobile commerce bigger? And I think one of the things that Marissa's comment points to, and that I was trying to get at, is it's not bigger because, as strange as this is going to sound, as much as it's grown, as successful as it's been, there's an enormous amount of room to grow. You know, there are some real things that we need to account for. You know, first off, I don't know how ready consumers are for mobile commerce. I think they're ready, and I think there's an enormous set of people who are ready. But if you think of all the customers who are out there, all the possible people, there's still a lot of room to grow. When consumers first got dial-up modems, and first got PCs in their house back in the 90s. And yes, I'm old enough that I remember this. you know, e-commerce went from being very small and being not a real big part of most companies' marketing activities or most companies' commerce activities to becoming where it is today. And it took, you know, 10 years, right? It took 95 to 2005 before e-commerce really started to come into its own and become a big, big, big honking deal. And if we think about smartphones, we're kind of still in somewhat of those early days. You know, consumers still need to get a higher comfort level with buying on mobile. You know, the trend line to me looks very, very similar to what we've seen with traditional e-commerce. First, you get a lot of traffic. Then you get a lot of sales. I think we are very much in the get a lot of traffic phase. People are shifting to mobile in huge, huge, huge ways. You know, it's, what, 20% of many sites' traffic today, and I think by the end of the year it's going to be 50% and potentially more. Once you start to get that critical mass, customers start to get that comfort level to say, okay, I am actually ready to buy, and I am comfortable enough with this channel, with this mechanism, with this medium, that absolutely I'm going to whip out my credit card and enter the information. You know, I'm going to go ahead and pay. Of course, one of the other reasons why I said mobile commerce isn't bigger yet is because paying isn't as easy as it could be yet. There's a lot, I've talked about this a lot, but you know, most mobile checkout systems need work. You know, I've used the story of, you know, your customer is heading downtown in New York and got their mobile phone in one hand as they're walking down the street trying to catch a train or something along those lines, or they're running through an airport and they've got their phone in one hand and they're trying to lug their briefcase or their purse in another hand, and they're trying to get their wallet out and read off their credit card with another hand while they're walking. You know, that doesn't work, right? That's really hard for a consumer to do today. And so I think that's a limiting factor. Another limiting factor, of course, is there are some real problems that people are trying to solve with mobile, things like mobile payments, that at least at the moment, better mechanisms, i.e. credit cards, still exist. Not that I don't think mobile payments are going to be huge. I think they're going to be very huge. But they've got to come up with a mechanism that says, wow, this is better than what I do today and I'm very comfortable with. The businesses who are really trying to solve these problems. And I think many people will. There's too many people working on it, and there's too much money riding on this for that not to occur. Now, I don't want anyone to hear this and say, oh, then I shouldn't be focused on mobile. No, you totally should, because this is changing every single day. You know, one of the things I said was consumers are not ready. But if you look at the another article I wrote last week, another post I wrote last week, where I talked about how much you should care, or why should you care about how much data smartphone users consume? The answer is because it's going up massively, and the more powerful the smartphone, the more data people consume. Again, that's really consistent with Web 2.0 or Web 1.0 activity. When people only had dial-up, when people only had, you know, old 386 and 486 and maybe Pentium computers, for those of you who remember what those were, there wasn't as much e-commerce activity. But as people got cable modems and DSL and broadband, high-speed internet access, and got more powerful computers and were more comfortable with the computers, they stayed logged on longer, which is why I say today people don't go online. They are online. And they bought more because it was easier. They didn't have to worry about, you know, how do I log on? How do I do this? What's my password? Oh my gosh, my computer's so slow. The internet access, right? That doesn't happen. Now they just go. Click, 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 done. And what we're seeing, and what this post I wrote the other day points out, is that iPhone 5S users and Samsung Galaxy users, people with the highest end phones, are consuming 5, 6, 7 times as much data as people with an iPhone 3 or some of the earlier Android phones. So these things are very additive, and that's where you get the hockey stick, right? That's where things go from being fairly flat to taking a sharp turn upwards. And what we're seeing because of this is that consumers really want to use their phones on the go. They're using them more and more as the phones get more powerful and as the data networks get more powerful. And customers now take it for granted that they can get the information they want wherever they are, whenever they want. And you're going to see mobile commerce follow in a big way. For instance, eConsultancy has these 50-plus fascinating stats about mobile commerce in the U.S. And one of the things was, in 2013, in Q4 of 2013, mobile sales jumped 46%. That's a huge, huge increase. In fact, overall, mobile accounted for 35%, fully a third, of all the online traffic in Q4. That's enormous. Mobile sales are now starting to follow. Mobile sales, like I said, were up 46% and now account for almost 17% of all sales. With smartphones driving 21% of that traffic. So, I mean, those are huge, huge numbers. eMarketer has a thing that talks about the fact that in the UK, mobile helped e-commerce have a record year, largely because of mobile. So you're starting to see those elements come together. Now, one of the things I've talked about is that mobile isn't a separate channel. You know, there's some lessons you have to take away. Mobile isn't a separate channel. It's the thing that binds your various channels together. It's the way your customer connects to a lot of different things. And the things they're connecting to are content like customer reviews. I talk about this a ton, but those become increasingly important because they help tell your brand story when people are on the go and help them make quick decisions. People like the AgFam players, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, are doing an amazing job at jumping on board with this, you know, and continuing to grow with this. You know, there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal the other day that Amazon is going to start shipping packages before you buy it. It's anticipatory shopping. I've got a piece I'm working on that I need to get up one of these days that talks about, you know, a brief history of instant gratification, right? We increasingly are able to get our desires met immediately. And Amazon wants to go ahead and just do it now. They want to send you stuff before you buy it because they know you're going to want it. TechCrunch has an article about how Walmart, who is not part of AgFam but is desperate to become one of them, is testing online grocery shopping with local store pickups. So, I mean, these things are incredibly important, and they're all converging in that area. And, of course, finally, your customers really expect a great experience no matter where they are. You know, as 4C results notes in a study that they did, and I'll link to this. This is in the post about what your customers expect from mobile and e-commerce, but according to consumers, functionality on mobile apps and sites was the biggest area for improvement across mobile retailers. So again, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there, and the folks who solve for that, who do a good job of that, are the ones who really stand to win. So as you're looking at the changes in your customer base and what they're doing different, and as you're thinking about your strategy, realize that mobile plays an enormous role in that. Mobile is going to drive business in a big way. I know I've said this a lot, but this is why. Here's the data that backs it up. This is what's changing customer behavior and will continue to do so for the next handful of years. Now, looking at the time on the wall, we are about out of time. So, as ever, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. It is always great to have you here. And I want to remind you that you can, of course, subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and then clicking the subscribe link in any of the individual posts. You can subscribe on iTunes or on Stitcher or your favorite podcatcher. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or just plain old Thinks Out Loud. You ought to be able to find it. You can email me at podcast@timpeter.com. I always look forward to your comments, complaints, questions, concerns, or just plain old stuff you want to talk about. And I really, really want to thank you again for tuning in. It is great having you here. I would not do this if people did not listen, so I really appreciate it. It's really a highlight of my week. I enjoy it, and I hope in some small way it's a tiny little highlight of your week as well. So with that, I want to thank you all again. I hope you have a fantastic rest of the week. I hope you have a spectacular weekend, and I look forward to seeing you right back here. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. Big game this weekend. So, you know, tune into all the commercials and follow me on Twitter if you like at twitter.com/TCPeter, where I will once again be critiquing and commenting on the advertisements as I do every year. Anyway, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy the big game. Look forward to talking to you again real soon. Can't wait to see you right back here on Thinks Out Loud. Take care, everybody.